You're listening to a Get Serial podcast. We have someone special in studio, Annabelle.
We do. I'm really excited about this. This is our first interview of the year. And we've got a writer, producer, and screenwriter in today. Her work has been published and awarded in Australia, the UK, and the United States, with her latest work featured at QV Melbourne for the Year of the Dragon. Please welcome Bonwai Ju to the studio.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And I think we'll open with a bit of a basic question here. At Get Serial, we are passionate about everything breakfast. Last year we had a segment completely based around porridge, and it was every single week. But I have to know, what is your dream breakfast?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, if I were on holiday, my dream breakfast is the full continental.
Very nice.
I mean, absolutely everything. And then they also give me extras, so when I step out, I have something for lunch.
Ooh.
But then when I'm not on holidays, I guess the dream breakfast is anything I can get in my mouth before I run off.
Fair,
so,
I feel that.
Minimum coffee.
Minimum.
And coffee and coffee.
What kind of coffee? I've got to ask.
Well, I've got a coffee machine at home, and it's a Sunbeam. it's just filtered coffee. It's just an espresso. But flat white is what I like.
Ooh, nice.
It's a good start to the day, I'd say. You need your coffee, especially on a morning show. You need to be caffeinated, so I'm glad you're ready to go today.
Definitely.
But absolutely.
I wanted to ask you a bit more about your work. You've obviously created written text, such as like fairy tales, crimes, memoirs. You've also created work for the screen as well. Can you tell us a bit about the different processes involved to writing for like film versus writing for storytelling?
Okay. Well, I think you're spot on. Storytelling is the key. So whatever medium you choose, you need to really think about the story, because story is really what drives the drama, it drives interest. So that is really what I focus on. And then what you choose, how you choose to present it, it really depends what's your purpose, you know. So I started nonfiction. I even started very academic, and then I changed and did a lot of memoirs and then into fiction. And then screen is probably my latest projects, because I wanted to tell these family stories. I wanted to tell them for a long time based on old letters from my grandfather and a friend of mine who went to film school. She said, look, first she said, why don't we do a radio show? And I just thought, no, I didn't know anything about that. and then she said, oh, actors looking for short films told by Australian Chinese. So we thought, let's have a go at that.
Yeah.
So that's how it started.
That's great. Well, you've had a lot of success with your latest film. It's called Mei Mei Speak More Chinese. And I believe that it was actually part of the Multicultural Film Festival in 2023. I have to say, I watched it. It is such a beautiful exploration of kind of growing up with a mixed cultural heritage and how you stay connected to your Chinese culture while also growing up in Australia as a fourth generation Chinese Australian. Was it hard to delve into that kind of more personal side of storytelling for the screen, or what was the process like for you?
Yes, there's always an emotional element. That's the whole point. You know, you need to really have, it must drive the emotion at the end. But I think it was, first of all, it was time constraints.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, when you have a very short time span, you really need to just sort of hone in on what is it you're really trying to capture? And in my case, I really just wanted to focus on a theme that kept repeating in my life, which I couldn't understand. You know, when you're young, you don't know why, you know, you're told to do things and you're just thinking, but why do I have to do this? You know, Mum doesn't speak Chinese, why do I have to speak Chinese? And so there's like a mystery. So you're going through that process as you're telling the story, and finally you get to the climax and it's all resolved.
No, it's a beautiful story, and I loved hearing the kind of motive of Mei Mei Speak More Chinese, and how it summed it up. It was beautifully done. Do you think, because you talk about in the film how your mum didn't speak Chinese but your grandma didn't speak English, so you were the intermediary, do you think that, like, kind of playing the role as a translator showed you as a child how important words were in storytelling? Did that influence it in any way? Or
Words were absolutely important, because I didn't speak any English when I came to Australia. And you could just see how powerful, when you have the language, it is just so powerful, and how important it is to use it in the right way. Because words, are, as they say, spelling, it's like a spell. Yeah. You know, you use it for the positive or the negative. It's very important, the words you choose. So I worked really hard to learn English. I sounded Australian when I was very young, but I had a lot of trouble with the grammar and the reading, because that took longer. So that was always the thing with me, the language. And the Mimi, it could be about anyone. Look, I'm Mimi because I'm second born, the younger sister. But that whole story could be really about anyone who's sort of caught in these ancestral sort of patterns and traumas that is almost unconscious, how we keep repeating them generation after generation, and to really sort of question, why are we doing this? You know, because of the impact it's having on everyone.
You just heard All Night by Keita Alexander featuring Laurel, which is part of our Sweet 16 playlist. You can find it on sin.org.au or check out the Sweet 16 Instagram for the full playlist.
Ooh.
Before that, you heard Endless Possibilities by Emmy Jones and Jessie Pajamas. And speaking of endless possibilities, we have got Bon Waiju back in the studio with us to tell us all about Lunar New Year, I should say, and the endless possibilities that come with it.
Definitely. And I think I'll start off with this one. Now, for those who don't know, it is the Year of the Dragon. Now, the dragon is a powerful symbol in Chinese culture, representing strength, luck, and prosperity. How does the symbol of the dragon inspire you in your writing?
Well, the dragon is the only creature of the 12 animal signs that is mythical. So it gives you extra luck and power. And really extra oomph this year. So it's gifted with wisdom, benevolence, confidence, accomplishment, and, of course, good luck. So for me, in the story I've written that's now at QV, if you scan a code at QV by the giant Dragon's Tail installation, you'll be able to read it. That story is inspired by the characteristics of the 12 animals, but and in particular by the dragon. I won't give away too much, but I just find it fascinating, the 12 symbols, because when I grew up in Hong Kong, no one would ask, how old are you? They always say, what's your animal symbol? And they can work it out. So I've always been just so interested in how the Chinese method of counting time is sort of through this system of characteristics and personalities and sort of destiny that's been around, I think, thousands, even 3000 BC or something.
You were telling us off air how you don't just have an animal for your year of birth. You have one for your month, for your day, and even to the hour, which is something I did not know at all. And so, like, the endless possibilities, speaking of the song that we just listened to how that defines your character, are amazing. Can you tell us, what's your sign?
Well, I'm the year of the monkey. I'm the month of the horse. And I'm the hour of the horse. So I have a lot of horse characteristics. And what are they? I guess they're hard work. They're good at working hard for others. And they're tolerant. And there's a certain popularity appeal to horses as well. And I am the day. I was born on a Thursday. Now, because there are only 7 days of the week and there are 12 animals, there's a bit of doubling up. Thursday is the day of the rat and pig. Sunday's monkey and Monday's goat. Tuesday's dragon.
Yeah.
But sometimes they also equate Tuesday with pig as well.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of
overlapping. Yeah. So it's just so interesting. So I may show people I'm a monkey. Monkey stands for fantasy and imagination, entertainment. Monkey, very mischievous. And but my true animal is Rat, and Rat and Pig, and Rat is the survivor.
Yeah.
And Rat is the very resourceful one. If you know rats, you might notice, do they hoard? I think they do.
I have to ask my mum if she hoards.
Yes, they do.
So I'm a bit of a hoarder, so off the record.
That's very true to who you are, from what it sounds like. You're creative, as you're saying, like a monkey. You create, you bring joy, and that's lovely. It's interesting how spot on that kind of is. You're hardworking. And speaking of hardworking, you did mention that your story is going to be available to see at QV Melbourne. I believe it started up yesterday, the Chinese New Year event, the Lunar New Year event, I should say. What can kind of audience members expect to see?
Okay, so the installation went live yesterday. It will be there for 2 weeks until the 21st of February. And if you attend, it's in QV Square, the open air area. If you see the dragon between 1 and 4 o'clock, they'll be giving away lucky red packets, the envelopes, red packet, lacy or hongbao. So, you know, go along because you might win something, you know. It's only for 2 weeks, yes. And as you know, red packets are very significant during the Lunar New Year. It's just, it's full of money. Normally it's full of money, though I put scratchies in it now. I change everything. In Australia, I don't really follow the rules because traditionally they go from older to younger, senior to junior, boss to employee, and married people to single people.
Yeah.
So they really were fantastic when you were a kid. When I was a kid in Hong Kong, I didn't fit any of those giving categories yet, so we just got lacy galore.
Definitely. Yeah. And I'll ask one final question for you. What do you have coming in the pipeline? Have you got anything you might want to hype up or maybe just hint at for future listeners or future readers?
Well, I guess the Mimi movie was very surprising for us. We just sort of made it. It was actually all shot in one day.
Oh, wow.
We just went for it. And we didn't expect the sort of response we got. So we're working on another one, like part two. So that's a project that's sort of bubbling.
Ooh.
And I'm always writing something. I guess I don't want to give away too much because I'm not sure what I'm doing. You know, sometimes you've got all these things happening, so I don't know which is next sort of, you know, the next thing that'll be happening. But all I can say, look, all writers, creatives, we all have fingers in everything. It just, everything's happening.
No, totally. Awesome. And if someone wants to keep up to date with you, likes what you're doing, where can they find you to do so?
Well, you can find me on my website. It's www.bonwaichou.com.
Definitely. That will be linked in the interview if you have a look on the Omni page when we put it up. But otherwise, thank you so, so much for joining us. And, like, I don't know about you, Annabelle, that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was lovely hearing about your creative process and hearing a bit more about your installation. And we've loved having you in the studio. Thank you so much.
It's been great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And with that, we're going to dive into our next song. Here is Bless the Telephone by Leiby Siffre. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.